pray whenever I want to thank him. But certainly the person who's mostly responsible for putting together the program and all the arrangements is very nice, and we have a lot of accounts to him. He asked me to make an announcement on the schedule of 250. It has a big gold heart, and it says, helping for me to learn with clarity, confidence, and efficiency. It says part two. My gold heart is saying it's not really part two. It's really the same session he gave in the morning, but people aren't here. So if you were there in the morning, you won't want to go to it in the afternoon, or you could go to it. And if you weren't there, you don't have to feel that you can't go to it because you missed part one. It's a segment by itself. Also, if everyone could shut off their cell phones for this session, for all sessions, out of respect to the speakers. We have a klal at Tarim Seira that we instituted, I think it's already three conventions ago, that there are no introductions. And when we instituted it, the first person to speak was a Shmuel Kamenetsky Shita. I introduced him and said, my cover to introduce a guy named Shmuel Kamenetsky Shita in Philadelphia. I sat down, and as Shmuel came up, he said, great Seshikaya. So I think everyone is happy that way. No one came to hear me. People came to hear Rabbi Wodafiansky. It's my comment to introduce the Shimon Great Washington, the Rabbi Wodafiansky Shmuel.
Rabbi Meister rushed a little bit. He said that he's very Yekish, and things start at 1:40, and the nice thing about speaking in a Yekish environment is that you can set your watches to 1:40. It's just a shame that the rest of the world is not Yekish. They might tell you it's 1:50 actually, so we'll have to correct the outside. I'm sure some of you must have been a little bit perplexed at the topic of learning the Shema, as if everything else has been taken care of, the only thing left to do is the learning the Shema part of it. So certainly Silver Spring, the whole Ragat Magrega, of course, and the last bit is learning the Shema, and then we're just in place. But the truth is, I really wanted to understand. The Shema is not a final Magrega learning, but rather it's built on certain character traits that do have to be built in when you're young, and it really is a developmental process of things that are in the nature of the child and personality, and that's really the point that I would like to speak about. Before we can speak about how to teach, how to foster an environment that brings about the Shema, what you really want to ask yourself is, what is the Shema? And most of the time people say, well, the Shema is for its own sake, and that's what it is, and so on and so forth. And people, I think, are missing people have a sense, I guess, learning the Shema means learning and not having the outside negias. But what is learning the Shema? Let's translate it to Tchunas HaNefesh of a person, and that's the point that I really like to work on. So let's start out with an illustration of what's not the Shema and different degrees of the Shema. Let's say I meet a person, let's say in a Shidduch setting, or in any social setting event, and someone asks me, you seem to have spent time with the person, do you like the person? I say, yes, I do a lot. Why? Because he's very rich, and you know, like he's giving money for the institution, it's great. So that, it's true, the person has money, and it's good for me to have that cashier and to have him donate money. But we say to ourselves, as far as that person's personality goes, it is the outermost layer of possibility. It's not even the person. It's just something that's attached to the person. And therefore, what I'm basically saying is, I like the shell, but what's inside it, I have no shyness to it. A second person, I meet and I say, I like the person a lot. Why? The person's tall, dark, and handsome, attractive. So for almost all of them, you know, a lot of people describe their spouses that way. And is there a lot of them? Yes, I married him because he's tall, dark, and handsome. Is he a nice person? I will find out. Is he intelligent? I don't know. But listen, the main thing is Holdock and Hanson. So for some people, that's called the Shema. In terminology of Rumus Olam, that's called, I like a person. I like him what he is. What is he? Holdock and Hanson. For us, that's not the, I meet somebody else and I say, I like the person a lot. Why? He's witty. He's sharp. Well, some people feel Zekalada. The gradations of personality keep going more and more in a way that we would classify as deeper, as more essential to the person. Let's take a final example. If I have a worker who's working in my factory, and he's great, he's quick, he's on the ball, works very well, and so on. And I pay him for it, and I'm very happy with it. And something happens to him. He becomes not well, he's no longer capable of he becomes slow, becomes partially paralyzed. So, I let go of him. I mean, if I'm mentioned, of course, I'll pay him money and so on and so forth. But bottom line, I am going to say, listen, I mean, I like you because you're a very good worker. You produce X amount of radios per hour. You can't do it anymore. I don't like this work anymore. I mean, I'll give you money. I cross the code. Fine, great. Let's say, God forbid, somebody's father is now well. And you hear somebody tell me something about their father. And he says, well, he's so deep and so understanding and so much compliment, so much doubt, so much this, so much that. And now he's there, but he's helpless. And they say, well, so get yourself another father. Well, no, because I hit home at something, there is a core of the person that I have yet to describe. And as far as those type of relationship goes, it's the shama, whatever you want to call it, and so on, that's it. So what I'm illustrating is something that has a lot of layers going from outside to inside. You can stop at different places, and for different people, different aspects of personality are the essential person, that's him. And if I'm able to tap on to the essential part of a person, that's called Lishma. There are some people that are very coarse and unfortunately very not Balmidas. And for them, having the money is bad. I like it. When I have money, people, you know, I'm rich, I'm this and that. So for him, that's him. And so that is as regards relationships in the world. So relationships in the world come in various degrees, and we identify it as ancillary to essential. That's the range. More ancillary, more essential. That's the very essence is Lishma. So when I like somebody for what he sees himself as, and if this person sees himself as chesed, as the atzmius of chesed, and that's what I like about the person, and he's a very giving person, then the person feels that he is like. If the person sees himself as a goyim, the ikr, and chesed is a side thing, I'm not going to be happy when somebody latches on to me because I always get a chesed from them. I'm going to want somebody who appreciates me for what I am, and chesed is a nice part. That's a description of what the Shema is and is not as regards any type of relationship. What about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What about Torah? One person learns Torah because he can become wealthy. Besides deluding yourself, it's also not really unless you're reformed in the reform business, but in this business it's not, it's an illusion, a delusion, is a better word. But so that's obviously not the Shema. What about if somebody learns Torah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes bad people, gets back to good people, and the only way to know what to do is Torah? It certainly is close to the essence, but it's not quite in the essence itself. In order to try to understand what the Lishma of Torah is, we're going to have to, without getting into impossible for the scribe, which basically becomes meaningless to us. We're going to have to describe quality, link it with a quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is revealed to us, and be able to hit home on that meaning. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us, Mahu Rachum, Mahata Rachum, Mahu Chani, Mahata Chani, Torah is called Torah's Chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kehel HaMishpat, Torah is called Mishpat. There are many, many different types of appellations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midos and Torah, and by getting a sense of which of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midos can be described as essential with relationship to the other Midos, we'll be able to have a picture about Torah that will tell us what is Lishma of Torah, how do we approach it, and so on. There are two reasons why this is very important. I mean, besides the fact that we should be learning Torah Lishma, and that's the hope of aspiration, that's the peak of the mountain using the metaphor from this story. One reason is because it will help us understand what we need to develop in ourselves. Secondly, the closer you hit home to the essence, the longer lasting relationship is. For instance, if my relationship with a person is because he's wealthy, money comes, money goes, and the relationship is as good as his bank account, that's it. If my relationship with a person is because he's witty, let's take the other example, the person is tall, dark, and handsome, when the person becomes old, craggy, and not so handsome, then you don't have the patient, and so on. The more you hit an essential item, then you have a long-lasting relationship. And like the muscle we gave with your father, since your relationship goes to the very core of his neshama, to the very core of who he is and what he is, then even on his deathbed, when he displays none of the qualities he has, it's your father, L'Nezach Netzach. So by identifying Nekudos in Torah, that is the essential point of it, the essential Midah, it also gives us a grip on it that we don't shake easily or never. So let's ask ourselves, what is the Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is, if we can array the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of the Midos, what would we consider to be the essential one? So Chazal told us, when, for instance, imagine a person writes a letter. In your letter you describe how you feel about different things, certain items that are of interest to you, and at the very end, you sign your name. Signing your name is youth. In other words, I'm not feeling well is a trap in my life. I would like some medication is a trap in my life. Please send regards to so-and-so. Do this and this. Those are all details of my life. The signature, my signature is me. And Chazal said, Chosomo shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs Kaviyachol his notes with emes. And Chazal gave an example where there was a question about something and the note came down and said emes, and that's how they knew it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if we're looking at the different midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the array of the midos, and try to distinguish between what are midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what is the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chosomo shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. And Rosh Hashanah, when we come into being, and that's when we declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most primary terms, we talk about Hashem Elokim Emes, Ke'ata Emes, Baruch Emes. The midah of Emes is the very hallmark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if we're to ask ourselves, what aspect of Torah is the core aspect? So let's give an example, I guess in a teaching way. Let's say a person tells somebody, learn, and someday you'll become a very chashuv rav and you get a lot of cover. So that we all understand is exterior. But what if a Rebbe tells a Talmud, you know, it's a brilliant spark. Like, people who learn are geniuses. There's more chachma here, it's sharper verta than any other place. It might be true, But that's part of the beauty of Torah. That's part of the Chachma. I don't know if I fit at the core of it. If I can't, so somebody could, and the raya is, somebody can come to me and say, listen, geometry problems are also very tantalizing. Algebra problems, science problems. I need to find something that marks off Torah from other studies. There's brilliance, Chachma begayim tamim. So if I just focus on an aspect of Chachma, I have yet to define the critical aspect of Torah that is Torah itself. So there are other Chachmos, there are other brilliances, there are other beautiful words, and there has to be something about it that this is its distinguishing mark, the litmus test. The Rambam says, Ha'osek me'ahava, someone who ha'ovek me'ahava, osek b'torah v'mitzvahs, v'holech b'nesivas ha'chachma, lo mipnei dava ba'olam, no exterior reason for it, v'lo mipnei yiras hara, and not because of the fear that something will happen if he doesn't learn, v'lo kidei lirash ha'tov, but not because he gets Gan Eden, ela, oiseh ha'emes, mipnei shehu emes. He does emes because it is emes. So the Rambam is defined for us, Miyad HaZaker, that if a person is the defining factor of Lishma. If I want to give it a description, what is Lishma? What is its essence? What is the thing that is its essence? So the Rambam says, Oseh ha'emes mipnei shehu emes. And the source for the Rambam is a Gemara, I think. It's not brought down that that's a source, but the Gemara says in Shabbos, two Talmid Chachamim mechadim ze leze b'alacha, two Talmid Chachamim that keep debating with each other in order to sharpen the halacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzliacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps them. Shenema b'adorach atzlach, altikri b'adorach al b'kidutcha. In other words, the dialogue and the tension of two people debating a halacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps them. Yochol afilo shelo lishma, Talmud loma al dvar emes. The pasuk says, the hadrach atzlach al dvar emes, that it has to be for dvar emes. So Chazal, the Gemara is identifying the opposite of shelo lishma is dvar emes. In other words, when you have a tension between two people arguing, and each one is saying a different story, and they're arguing, if the purpose is because that's where you get the emes between the two, that's called lishma. So you have two people coming from two different angles, and since when you come from two different angles, you hit the point, that's the point, that is the essential point of Torah. It's defined as lishma, and on a personality level, it's defined as dvar emes. That's what Chazal is saying. So we have here a definition for lishma as being identical with emes. And there are two types of chinuch that I would like to present as the way, as areas that are very strongly effective. The first one is, how do you encourage a child? Forget it. Now, the truth is, the Rambam says, you're supposed to start with Shelo Lishma. You're not allowed to start with Lishma because no human being starts like a Lishma. Rambam in Shmona Prakin, in the Zakdamah to Sanhedrin, to Pelech, says very clearly you're supposed to start by giving candies, money, kavod, and then if they are mature enough and ready for it, go on with the message of Lishma. So we're not talking about starting with Lishma as being the primary ingredient of chinuch. But how do we inculcate a child with it? So let's take a look at a different type of teaching. What drives a kid to learn science? One of the things that drives a child or any human being is we want to know and understand the truth. Like, why is it that a rock falls? It's something we don't like to live with things where we don't understand why they really work. We ask ourselves, sometimes you have a situation, a person comes along and he tells a story that's not true. Either he's boasting, or he's mixing up facts and it's not true. And it's not a shamabika, it really doesn't make a difference, big deal. And yet people become very, very, very upset. And they protest and say, no, it's not true, you didn't do it, it was he that did it, and you're taking credit false or something. What do you care? Well, it's not to get anything. There is a strong sense in a person's nefesh for emes, just like chesed. All the midas tovos are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, and they're receptacles built into our nefesh that relate to it. So if we keep pounding away at, don't you see how poor this person is, and such Rachmanis and so on, we touch on the nerves of Rachmanis and we bring out Rachmanis in children. Emes, a desire to understand, to know really, is something you can hammer out and get out from a person's nefesh also. Not only also, it's the essential problem. In some ways, it's the latest, one of the latest ones to develop, because it's so deep. Chesed, a young kid of 6 or 7, is already feels bad for other children. The desire, on the other hand, a child 6 or 7 has sometimes not an easy time distinguishing emes from not emes. But at a certain point, a person tells you, I want to know the emes. People will, I mean, talking about the secular world, will be most nefesh to write histories that are true, or at least in their eyes are true, even if it might be getting arrested or whatever, and you say it's a big deal. You're not fighting for freedom, but you're just writing the facts as they are. And the answer is, there is that co-op in a person, and it is probably a core part of his nefesh, just like by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is Chosomo, so if Adam is a Tzomo of Kim, that's his Chosomo. There actually is a Rabbeinu Yona, when he speaks about Emes, he describes Emes as being Yisod HaNefesh. Emes is the foundation block of the Nefesh. And I think he means because it's parallel to Chosomo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not just a nice thing that we have, it's not just an extra thing. So you hear when a Rebbe teaches children, and like I said last time, with a lot of caveats, I'm not an experienced teacher, I don't teach Bukhrim at an age when it's only the Mechanech really, or it's too late for Mechanech, one of the two, but it's certainly, I've got very little in that sense, and you know and do understand that you're the people that are working with it. Each age is different, each child is different, but there's got to be a development. For instance, a Rebbe will say Svar and say, isn't that brilliant? Isn't that sharp? You say a Chvif mistake of Svar. That's very nice. But you have to. But there has to be room to say, you know, this is a 3 to 6 part. This is 3 to 6. But you know, this feels like the emes. This is emes. This is shot. I once heard a minor from a Putna. The Putna was tremendous. Amkin, his mamarim were very deep. They're very beautiful. And they were enchanting just with their beauty and everything about it. But I vividly remember a maimer I heard when I was a young boy. He said a shot on a mission of this, which was very beautiful shot. And then he said, it's a nice shot. It's like when you catch somebody and hold on to his shoulder instead of grabbing by its neck. You know, it's a shot I said is a shot. It's not the shot. And then he said a second shot, which we really felt addressed the heart. One of the problems is you develop, you say nice pshatim, nice veraklah, things that are nice, and that's a reader, oh, that's very nice to adorn Torah like that, but it's not ripping it at its heart. That a Rebbe should say, this is emes, this is what it says it. That's something the Rebbe has to be convinced of that, and it's something that the child has to hear, that emes outweighs other things. I remember Rav Nachum, my Rebbe in the Mir, Rav Nachum was Goyen Olam, Amkin, tremendous Rosh Hashiva. And one of the things that would sometimes puzzle people about the way you set a shir, you could sometimes ask him a very good kasha on the shir. And he'd think a minute and he would say, it's a good kasha, nice kasha. Sometimes somebody would show him another Ramban, he was saying Shach Ramban, so another Ramban, and he'd look at it and say, you know, I think I'm wrong. And the weight of the first kasha was much more powerful than the other Ramban that he showed him. And people, sometimes outsiders, were very puzzled by it. I mean, I asked this guy, he has a powerful kasha, and a really good kasha, and Rachel said, good, you know, give yourself an A for a great kasha. And somebody would show up at Diyuk, and Rachel would look at it and say, you know, I think we have to start all over. And the reason was very simple. If he felt that the kasha was a kasha on it, so fine, this is Pshat Nirashba, I'm convinced. The kasha is a kasha, I'll have to deal with it. I'll have a test, I won't have a test. But I think I've identified what the Rashba is saying. But when a person showed another Rashba and it became clear it's not what the Rashba is saying, then there's no point to it anymore. What it says was the first point. Is this what it says? Is this not what it says? And if it's not what it says, 1,000 terusim are not going to help you at all. It's not something that will make it more emes. And it was a very fine mishkan. It was a very fine way. Sometimes you would think he'd go on. Sometimes he must work the whole night, really, the whole month of Shabbos. Again, he closed and said, you know, it's just not right. And he could have held his account against anybody. That's not it was his problem. He could outrun anybody. You couldn't catch him on the kasha. But he knew it wasn't empty. Reb Nachum, when he said a shir, his highlight of the shir wasn't, you know, the svara. Like, everybody gets excited at a different part of the shir, depending on what you have been shumming. One person is when you hit the depth of the svara. One person is when you make the cheshbon and it's very, very sharp. Reb Nachum, at the end of, basically the end of the shir, he would come back to the Rashi that he started with and say, now read the Rashi. Isn't that exactly what it says? That was the high point of the shir. Was he used to say dvorim kitzavim? That was his lesson. Exactly. I'm reading Rashi. And you know, now that we finished the shir, we're starting over again. And this is Rashi, and it reads that way. And if it doesn't read that way, then it's just not empty. Someone told me once that he used to love Krifas before he was young. He said he got older. He started picking up some shas from Einheim and Kumish and so on. He said, well, it's good, because that's what it says. I mean, he's right. That is, building a haracha for emes is a very, very important chinuch of our Torah. That's one aspect of this chinuch for emes and lishma. There's a second aspect, and this is a more subtle one, and goes a lot more to the heart of the Talmud rather than to the heart of the Shia. When you understand something, the same pshat can be said over by two people, one of whom the pshat is the emes that it says. To another one, it's contrived. It's not. That's not what it says. And it's part of the emes of Torah that it dresses itself, it lands on a surface of a makabel. In other words, for some people, this type of chassidim, when they say chassidim shakayra, live it as the emes. Because that's the neshama. For a litvish person, some of it looks like mind-boggling. You don't really mean that this is what Rashi is saying, all those gematrias and all those veratlach, all those. And that's part of the ayin panim l'Torah. But there's got to be a sense inside the child that it's emes to him. One of the things that I find sometimes frustrating, and again, let me give you two or three anecdotes. A very chashuv boy from very chashuv high school, came to me, he's a bit of a relative of mine, and he was unhappy with his learning, he's a very good boy. And I wanted to get a sense of it. So we sat down, we're learning, I sat down and said, So I asked them something. So Rashi, very well, very good job. I asked them about Rashi. Rashi seems to be adding something to Gemara that there's no reason for. So he said, yeah, he says, let me think, there are six pshatim for this Rashi. I said, you know, I don't know any pshatim. I'm learning with you. What's pshat? But no, Rebbe said there are six pshatim. Six pshatim don't enhance pshat. I mean, my chinuch, and I'm sure the other chinuch, but my chinuch was, Rebbe Nachum said pshat. Sometimes at Chavak, it's a different pshat. But at the bottom of the line is the six are alternative pshatim. And obviously you want to try to expose the Talmud with a lot of different types of approaches, and you need to do it different times, take different spots. But you've got to have a sense of the Rebbe, this is what it says. And this is what it says in other places. He didn't know what I wanted from him. I said, there are little six, but Rashi has one pshat. What do you think pshat is? You know, all the little six are, you know, the greatest of Farshim. But you're learning Torah, and there's got to be a Torah's emes that fits to you. What seems to you tough? He was helpless. It was like asking to be in Chinese. That is a problem when you dump shatim and become shatim. You don't add. Sometimes you dilute the sense of struggle to get to an emes that you feel. I feel this is chat. In halacha and in psak, you have to ask big basic and the big dog and do like that. In Talmud Torah, you have to work until this is the way you understand it. One of the great lessons of this, it was also by Reb Nachum. Reb Nachum used to, I mean, the main shiur was in Nachum Zikim. There was a tkufa when he said on Fridays in Kachin. And just to get a sense of it, he used to say that from 1 to 2 Friday afternoon, it was being the light. He used to say on Kachin. It's nothing. And he had a very deep shiur on Kegel that he had printed up. Very difficult to understand. It was printed in that tune, I think, many years ago, in the 40s, the 50s. And he came to that subject, and everybody was waiting for him to say it. He said a very pale version of it. A very simplified, similar, but without all the knack that it had and so on. And someone went over to him afterwards and asked him, you know, how come Rebbe didn't say what he wrote? He waited to hear. You know, he says, I just don't feel it that way. I just don't feel it now. I don't feel like that's pshat. He could have said over the words very easily. He could have said over exactly. He didn't have a kash on it. There wasn't a problem with it. But if he doesn't feel it, that's not his emes. And it's a very hard, it's a long and hard chinuch for these things. I once heard from a Rebbe of mine. His name was Kagan Zakana Bracha. His son is Rosh Hashiva in Denver. His other son is Rosh Hashiva in Pittsburgh. He was Rebbe Mani in RJJ, and he was a stellar figure from the old Zoriat. He was in the 70s, early 70s. And he told me of a story. He came to Rabbi. He was 12 or 13 years old. And he had a Shem as a leader, I guess, or as a Bakishrit. And he obviously wanted to live up to his reputation. So he was sitting around a polytrop chair, and his mind was working overtime to get a kasha on the chair. And sure enough, he snaps up with a kasha on the chair. Rafael looks at him and he says, "Siz nishkin erlech a kasha." It's not an honest question. So he realized, he thought he must have made a mistake. So he worked it over, and then the kasha is a good kasha. He said, it's a good kasha. It works out. He says, no, it's the kasha is a good kasha. It's not an honest question. You weren't listening to understand, and this was blocking your understanding, but rather you needed to make a point, and even if the point is technically true, it's not honest to the person. There is the tchunas of emes. And it's a very hard balance. Rabbi Saul Salanka says that in his letters, he writes that learning and growing is a balance of two separate kochos ha-nefesh. One he calls the poisonous koach of wanting to be ahead of the game, being successful. A kid needs to be stimulated because there's ambition, you want to be best in class, covet, those are things that are imperative, because that's where you work. The world doesn't exist for Lishma. And he says, the core of Enes. The Lishma, and the other one he calls the gift of Kekraya, which means the poisonous influence of the competitiveness and ambition. So you do need, in a school setting, to provoke. You can't stop, the Rambam says, you can't stop with Lishma. That's not the way to stop. Kids need stimuli in terms of prizes, they need stimuli in terms of competition, and so on. Those all have a place. But what's very critical is there has to be a slow chinuch for emes. There has to be a certain metzias of a child learning to appreciate emes. So let me sum up the points that they'll make. Learning lishma is not just a very, very high madrega. It's a core of what Torah is. And we have to build our learning around that core. You can start out very far, but it's got to keep heading towards a direction that is what the internal aspect of Torah is. We have to be heading towards that essence. That essence is called Lishma, because when you want something for its real reason, for its real essence, that's called when your kavanah is Lishma. If we want to give Lishma, what is the real essence of Torah that describes it in the most essential way? The Midah is Emes. It has Chesed, it has Mishpat, it has Din, it has Gdula, it has Memchas Varim, it has wonderful things. But if I can ask you, what is Torah in one word? Emes. It is the real understanding of the Bria. What belongs to me, what belongs to you. How does one marry a woman? How does one divorce a woman? How does one doubt HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does one say HaKadosh Baruch Hu doubt? When is HaKadosh Baruch Hu closer to us? When is he distant to us? How do we bring him an expression of kirva? How does one bring a carbon? What is damaging the real? That is the ultimate science book of the essence of the real. And we have to bring out in the kids a haracha for emes, the desire, like the Rambam says, that oisah emes b'pnei shehu emes, because it is emes. That is one half of it. So understand. So everything. It's nice to encourage a child. This is a brilliant part. This is a deep part. This is a geshmak part. But a child has to hear occasionally, but this is such an emes part. And obviously you have to mean it and you have to hear it. This goes at the heart of the math. That's one thing. The second thing is the child has to also begin to get in his nefesh a desire for emes. I just one more anecdote which I really think is. I had a cousin, a young who was born with a Netzisrael, this cousin of mine, who was born with limping, and he had a physical deformity. A kid who worked very hard on himself, pushed himself really hard, and one of the kids was a young child. He was lived at 19 in a car accident. But at his hesped, his Rebbe told over a story which made a tremendous impression on him. He gave in, he was a very good student, did his work well, he handed it a chinna, and one question was blank. So he asked him, "You don't know it at all?" So he said, "No, I'm not sure. You know, I have some point, you know, I have some ideas of it, but I don't know how to answer the question back." So he said, "So why don't you write down what you know and with that partial credit for it?" And he said, meaning, I don't float. It's not a little knowing, a little not knowing, a little more, a little less. Do I know the answer? Don't I know the answer? And if the pieces don't come together, I just don't know it. It's a very hard meter because it's not the meter of young children. Young children are, they want to grow, they want to succeed, ambition. Those are healthy, normal drives of a child. But there's got to be groundwork for understanding, is this an emes akash or not an emes akash? And it relates to many things. It's late. I don't want to go far, but it relates also to the way people delude themselves. I once saw somebody sitting next to me at a yeshiva when I was learning. This person was very into food, very indulgent person. And he was sitting on Shabbos eating spoon after spoon of chon and saying, the covered Shabbos, the covered Shabbos, the covered Shabbos. I couldn't take it. I asked him, what's this all about? He said, that's what it says in the Sfar is supposed to do. But why? I mean, be honest with yourself. Because Sunday is a covered Sunday, Monday is a covered Monday, Tuesday is a covered Tuesday. I mean, you're consistent all week long. Like why is it a covered Shabbos? But it's a chinuch. It's learning not to be emes with yourself. We don't develop enough in ourselves to receptacles for emes. So we also need understanding that it's good to be emes. The safe possibility is, it says, Gam ki yaskin l'yosemel. Anything that's not essential, if you like something because there's money, the money comes, the money goes, and the friendship goes with that. If you like somebody because the person is physically attractive, then that comes, that goes, and there's nothing left. When you attach yourself to the thing itself, to the very essence of it, it stays forever. It's true in learning. If a person likes sharp stuff, deep stuff, this stuff, that stuff, you know, at some point in life, it phases out. But if the person wants to understand the emes of the Bria, that's a tchunas ha-nefesh that goes to the emes. Because as the years go by, and a person's competitiveness, the kid who's learning really sharp because he was going to be the greatest machine in the world, when he turns 40 and 50, he's found his place, he's not going much further, up or down. And then that peters out. When he catches on to the emes of prayer and the emes of himself, then it lasts forever. Because the emes is a meter that never mishtana, it's emes, and that's a chinuch that will remain with him forever and ever.